theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery, Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and gorgeous Quinn, of course. How are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm excited to read you something. It's been on my mind, and I feel like it's a great way to start off our day.
I'm excited.
Oh, did you notice that I rhymed it?
I did. You are a poet. You didn't even know it.
Wow, you are going to appreciate this. It is a poem.
Yay!
Yes, and so I recently finished consuming, because I listened to it in audiobook form,
right,
the final chapter of The 4-Hour Workweek, again, which is, it's a great book. It's worth reading twice, even though it's a bit outdated.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, and the very last statement is a poem, and I really connected with it, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, and I think it's a great thing to share with the world and share with each other. So here it is.
Okay.
It is called Slow Dance by David Weatherford.
Oh.
Here we go. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round, or listened to rain slapping the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight, or gazed at the sun fading into the night? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly? When you ask how are you, do you hear the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Ever told your child we'll do it tomorrow? And in your haste, no see his sorrow. Ever lost touch? Let a friendship die, 'cause you never had time to call and say hi. You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life isn't a race, so take it slower. Hear the music before your song is over.
Whoa, that's a beautiful poem.
I thought you would like it.
So, I really like it a lot.
It made me think a lot, and I guess I'll just go with like my vibe. You know? So this was at the conclusion of the 4-Hour Workweek, and the whole point of the 4-Hour Workweek is, you know, you're basically taking ownership of your time.
Right.
You're redesigning your life to enable you to do what you feel is most important.
Right.
And it's not as much of a, you know, I'm trying to retire type of ordeal. It's more of, I think that I can do exactly what I want to do that I feel is most meaningful to me with my time if I just redesign a few aspects.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the whole concept. And like, I think at the core of this is the idea that time is a non-renewable resource.
Right.
That money is renewable. So the idea that I got to make my money now so that I can enjoy it later, Well, nothing is promised to you later,
no.
Right? So you might as well figure out how to maximize the time that you have here.
Yeah.
In a way that you, you know, are enjoying it at least, like
right.
Slowing down a little bit, you know? I think, you know, for both of us, you and I are definitely people who love working constantly and love, you know, like the nuance of life.
Right.
I would say like novelty, or I would say more nuance than novelty of
definitely,
life.
Definitely, yeah.
And the only way to really experience that is, well, I mean, there's lots of ways to experience it, but I like
go ahead.
Well, I think one way is changing your environment for sure, and being curious about a lot of different things.
Right.
But for sure, it's really, I think it's the mind shift, the perspective shift of life in general, of like, what are you doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it? Like, if you're enjoying it, keep going, man.
Yeah, keep going.
You know, and if you're not, then this is, you know, we always talk about reflection, but I think anyone can take a little bit out of it. It doesn't mean that you have to like go off and live somewhere different. You know, yeah. like you don't need to study, you don't need to live abroad. You don't need to become an entrepreneur. You can be doing whatever it is that you want to do, mm-hmm. but it's just really kind of framing your own relationship with time and money, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I think it a lot of it is about ownership of your own time, but a lot of it also is a reminder of enjoying your presence.
Yeah.
You know, like enjoy the moment.
Absolutely.
And utilize those times to like take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And kind of reflect on where you are, how you got there. You know, I feel for us, we're always like thinking in the future,
yeah.
you know, like we're very future oriented. And I think a lot of people are, especially like as if they're younger generation, you know,
yeah.
as they're growing up, they're always like, what's next? What's the next big ordeal?
Yeah.
And this one definitely makes me appreciate, you know, where we are and where we've come from
yeah.
more than anything. And it's very poetic. You know?
It's so poetic. And I love how art can express things that sometimes are not as well received.
Yeah.
You know, by just like saying it bluntly, like,
yeah, yeah.
you know, I'm reflecting on my life and how much fun we had and how much fun we're probably going to have, you mm-hmm. know, in the future.
Yeah.
But I think that what it does is we do often miss the present moment. Mm-hmm. And really all we have is the present moment.
Right.
You know, but honestly, you know, I think one of the biggest reminders for me when I was in college was living with my own grandparents
yeah.
too, of just, you know, I love them. Like mm-hmm. the relationship we had was like super special and
definitely,
I'm so grateful for the time I had with them. And I loved listening to their stories about life. And there was always the lesson of just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta live it while you can.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, because as their health was deteriorating and they weren't, and when I was living with them, they were very healthy and fine. But you know, the longer you live through this life, the more likely you're going to encounter death. And,
right.
you know, one's experience with it always comes with, wow, I really, you know, I either have a lot of regrets in my life or I have a lot of really great moments in my life that I'm proud of, you know? So I
yeah.
think the idea of like one thing that's guaranteed in life is we're all going to die at some point. And
yeah.
Of course,
we don't know when. It could be,
yeah.
sooner than later.
Yeah. And right now we're all reminded about death, I think more so than ever.
Yeah.
It's a bit morbid, but
it's
I think
true.
Death is the one thing that can motivate you to make a change.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
I mean, so yeah, I would say the earlier you can understand that lesson and the mm-hmm. earlier you can gain a perspective of, hey, you know, time is valuable. It's non-renewable. What
right.
do I want to do with my time on this earth, however short or long it is?
Yeah.
And, you know, ideally it's, you know, a good thing, a positive
right.
thing, not
of
a
course,
bad thing
yeah.
to everyone. But having that at a younger age, the younger it is, the more likely you are to, you know.
Do what's most important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was at the prior chapter of this of the book before the poem was all about what do you do when you like transition from, you know, working a 9-to-5 to having this new lifestyle.
Yeah.
And most of the, you know, he's really emphasizing that you should like live abroad and like appreciate, you know, I love the 4-hour work week. It's really cool, but if you get the system set up right, what are you going to do with all this free time, you know? Hypothetically 4 hours a week, you know, then you got 36 hours of free time. And he talks about that transitional moment where it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And the kind of feelings of being uncomfortable, not having these responsibilities or specific tasks that you have to do that just kind of, you know, sometimes it feels good to know exactly what you have to do next.
True. Yeah,
right?
Very true.
And so I kind of connected this poem a lot with this idea of like, when you retire, you're not really like retiring. Like, I don't know. I used to think it's like you just wake up and it's like, what do I want to do today? And I had a friend whose dad retired like really early. And he was like, he goes to the movies and just watches movies. And then he'll go like for a walk on the beach or, you know,
yeah.
like it just seemed like so
yeah.
not exciting. And what Tim Ferriss emphasizes is if you actually get that much time, the best way to calm your mind down from being bored, because when you get bored, you start making like small or like no problems at all into bigger problems because that's all you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And he says the best way to avoid doing that is by taking on an alternative project.
Yeah.
Something that's important to you. And it could be anything. And his main ones are learning another language.
Yeah.
He always embraces going way deep into that language to like really try to get it. He sincerely believes that within like 6 months, you can be conversational in any language.
Yeah.
If you really put your heart into mm-hmm. it. He also mentions taking on other projects or learning new hobbies. And he talks about, you know, playing hockey in Ireland, you know, the field hockey kind of game,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. like field sports and stuff like that. And it just made me think, you know, what can you do when you do have that extra time? And perhaps more specifically to you, what would you do if you had that much more time to do whatever you wanted to do?
Yeah. Well, I think what comes with the idea, maybe this is more of a Western thing, is when you retire, you're assumed to have enough money to have retired,
yeah.
right? So money isn't necessary. You've planned, you've saved, you've, you know, done all the things,
right?
And now you can sustainably live whatever type of lifestyle you want without the concern for working so that you have more money.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, the projects, I love the idea of another language. I would travel. I would immerse myself in different cultures and languages. I would definitely take on probably nonprofit work projects, you know, trying to improve the community around me, at least, if not, you know, trying to figure out ways to, you know, help others figure out really hard problems to solve. You know, if you retire so young, you still have so much cognitive ability.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems wasted if you're just kind of like puttering around. And I could see, I mean, cause there are really great benefits to being bored, especially if you're like constantly overstimulated.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. Yeah.
But it's a whole other thing when you're kind of feeling like you lack some sort of like purpose or whatnot. So I don't know. I mean, retirement to me doesn't sound very appealing. I would like to always be doing something. And I feel like,
well, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Is
that's
like,
yeah.
If you have more time to that you get to have ownership of, it's finding something that's
exactly
important and meaningful to you.
Well, two cool examples in my own family is my grandfather. When he retired from IBM, he went and spent like 2 years in an art school in France learning how to sculpt. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, wow, okay, you are like in your 40s now. You know, you're pretty young still.
And he retired in his 40s?
Yeah, he was really young.
That's crazy.
I know. And so, you know, what do you want to do? Well, I've always wanted to go and live in France, and I wanted to study art and want to learn how to sculpt. So I'm going to go do that. And then, or my aunt, when she works for UNESCO in Venice, I don't know if she's quite retired yet. I know she's been on track to retire, but she's hugely passionate and super talented at dancing tango.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that's something that I think she's going to just do forever. She's just going to travel around and teach people how to do tango because she's so good at it. Mm-hmm. And she loves it. It's her passion.
Yeah, they talk about the difference of, like, you know, embracing a hobby and then finding meaning within that hobby. Like, why do you want to do tango? Like, or why? What is the pleasure of teaching tango?
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be the pleasure of her, like, actually doing the act. It might be the joy that others get from learning it, you know, or something like that. You
it
know?
Could be a whole bunch of different things, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about it a lot, and this is my conclusion on myself and kind of us. I mean, it's a together thing. I don't think we'll ever retire.
Yeah,
you know, in
either.
A weird way, one could argue that we do have almost a retired type of lifestyle currently.
Yeah,
we do have ownership of what we work on when we choose to work on it.
Yeah, it's true.
Just based on the like contracting work is not like hourly work,
mm-mm.
and you know these are our projects. Like the podcasting and developing like different websites and brainstorm, all that fun stuff to me. That's something that I'll never let go of.
Yeah.
Like it's already embedded into who I am. It's in my DNA. So I kind of think that for me personally, I'm not really going to go too much into the hobby side of things unless I really, really feel as though it's got some kind of positive impact in the end of it, like something it can be a stretch, it could be whatever, like, you know, like for instance, you know, I sometimes enjoy making music.
Yeah,
I'd have to really know the reason why I'm making the music in order for me to say that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I understand like learning a new language, for me, fully embrace that. I think that would be really great because I want to learn about wherever I'm living and all those little ins and outs. But what I'm most likely going to be doing for the rest of my life is going for other projects.
Yeah.
Trying to create something that makes impact in some form or another
yeah.
that I enjoy creating. Hence our podcast right now.
Yeah.
And hence future, whether it's podcasts or future forms of creating content, I'm pretty excited and dedicated to ensuring that we do that long term, as long as we enjoy it. At the point when we don't enjoy it, then we make a change and we do something different. But I'm very confident that if we do that, not only is that going to be meaningful and keep, you know, my brain going, but I really think those are the sources of really making something significant occur.
Right.
So beyond an impact, I really think like those have unlimited potential of growth and new opportunities that could be something that helps define us even better to who we want to be. So I love how he really embraced the idea of like becoming a writer, and that's how he became an author. And then he ends up writing this book, and it's like, holy cow, it was like on New York Times bestseller for so long. But it's because he had ownership of his time. You can write anywhere, you know, you can podcast anywhere, you can create content anywhere. The key is just getting to that level of freedom to do so. And I'm willing to sacrifice a bit to do it. I mean, in all honesty, like, what is most important to us? That's a big question. And I think that we say the most important thing is that we have ownership of our time and we get to work on what we want to work on.
Yeah. And I actually think it's very nice that we have that clarity of what, you know, our purpose is really on a daily basis. I mean, the big vision is ultimately impact, a positive impact.
Definitely.
But in order for us
to... I like how it's broad too.
Yeah. But in order for us to do that, we do feel like, in order to stay on track with that, we do feel like we need autonomy of time. And so that really dictates, you know, opportunities that we take on or projects that we create and whatnot. And I think that's a really powerful thing. And it's not always easy. I mean, I listened to his interview with Guy Raz on How I Built This. And towards the end, he describes, you know, his on a daily basis, like he really doesn't have a structured routine. Like there's no structure or routine. And for some people that would drive them crazy. And to a certain extent, I think we do kind of create our own little routine, but it's very unstructured in a lot of ways. And it actually gave me a lot of, I don't know why, but I guess a little bit of comfort to hear that he also, like on a daily basis, is like, sometimes I'm not productive and I feel, and I like knock myself, you know, mentally about how unproductive I've been. But then all of a sudden the next day something happens. And I feel like that occurs more with you and me than anything else. I wouldn't say that on a daily basis we're unproductive. We're always doing stuff, but there are days where we feel like, okay, wow, this is it, you know? And to know that that's okay. That's part of the, like the flow, the journey, the pattern.
Slow down journey.
But I think, you know, cause to be honest, I do like to, you know, push through things like, okay, we got this idea. Let's do it. Like, let's go all the way, you
fast,
know,
fast,
as much as we can. But, you know, under the more you do it, the more experience you have with this type of lifestyle and whatever lifestyle you want to create.
Right.
Just know that you do have some sort of agency on your own to be able to say, this is what I want out of my life and my time here on this earth. And unfortunately, it sometimes happens when, you know, you come towards a near death experience, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of weird how we keep on going back to death, but in all honesty, that's a big motivator, you know, well, go for it before you, while you can.
Well, you think about, you know, what was the catalyst that made us say, you know what, we got to do this life out of the box thing with bracelets and giving back. Like we got to do this. We got to figure this out right now. It was right after I got diagnosed with dengue fever and we had that horrible hospital experience. So, you know, that was, I mean, I don't know how close to death I was really. It wasn't very good.
It was scary.
It was scary. A virus is nothing to take lightly for sure, especially one that has no vaccine or any protection you can ever get. So, you know, although that's not something that like drives us on a daily basis, that was certainly a catalyst for us saying, you know, we got to go for it.
We made a change immediately.
I think we keep on doing that, you know?
Yeah. I think you're hitting on a lot of like really great points. I mean, it sometimes is uncomfortable to talk about it, but at the same time, you know, this is reality. The truth is everyone's got an expiration date, you know?
Well, and the other interesting thing too is, you know, kind of accepting, although you do have some sort of agency and control of, you know, what you do on a daily basis. That also there's so much that you can't control, but embracing that and actually kind of being excited about that. Like, okay, I don't really know exactly, I know what I'm working towards here, but I don't know what this is going to actually lead to the whole entire way. Cause there's no way you could actually predict what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
how much is luck and how much is like actual like you did it. You there's know, like, kind there's of, so yeah. much out of your control.
Yeah, but I mean, really great things can happen, I think, when you're really being your true self.
Yes.
And working hard on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, like, never could have ever imagined that moving to Nicaragua would eventually lead us to living in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and getting our PhDs. Like,
right.
That is a crazy journey that I could never have envisioned
yeah.
at that time, nor even right now. You know, like, yeah. it is crazy to reflect on, but that's how I think a lot of beautiful things in life can happen when you kind of embrace the uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
but you have, you know, kind of designed your life in some way that you feel comfortable going through the highs and lows
right.
to be able to do, because you know, like, this is my true authentic self. This is what I'm going to do. This is yeah. what I, you know, I don't know where this is really going to lead. I hope that it leads here, but I'm open to, you know,
other changes in the
factors.
Flows. Yeah. The other thing that I want to bring up is this poem also reminded me of the rat race itself.
Mm.
Rat race is all about, like, going high speed, right?
Yeah.
And it was interesting that Tim Ferriss discussed in the book the feeling of when you kind of get the freedom to have, like, ownership of your time, those 36 hours, you sometimes think, is it that I just wasn't good at performing in the rat race that led me to do this? You know, mm-hmm. like, if I was really good at the rat race, I probably would have just stayed in it, you
yeah.
know? And, like, it's almost like I don't fit in kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
And, man, I can't stop thinking about that all the time, because, like, sometimes I really do think, you know, sometimes I would just be so much easier if I could just, you know, go get a regular job
yeah.
or, like, even, like, hold, I don't want to say I can't hold a job, but I will say, like, you know, there's just too much more in life that excites me.
Mm.
And the idea of being able to, you know, have the freedom to explore and, like, try new things, it does become a bit of a problem when I think about, you know, most jobs do require you to be, you know, location based and then have to
right.
do certain things the majority of your day. Like, it just, like, kind of bugs me to my core. But then
yeah.
I think, is it because I can't do that I'm in my current situation? Or is it because I'm, like, choosing to not do it, you
yeah.
know? And, like, am I giving up, you know? And when I think about this slow dance song, it gives me some kind of, or sorry, the slow dance poem,
mm-hmm.
it gives me some sense of perhaps comfort in understanding that, you know, take a big step back.
Yeah.
Look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Look at the ending point and the beginning point and where you're at right now. And what would you want to do in this magical period of time where we have the control and ability to choose?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
Mm.
And that's what I get a lot from the poem. And that when I reflect on it on myself, it does make me feel a lot better with my previous actions, my current actions, and my view going forward.
Yeah.
And whether it is, like, you know, those jobs weren't just for me, you know, that kind of, like, I don't know, cubicle work or office type ordeal,
right.
whether it fits or not, I think when I step back and look at it all, I just know that what we're doing, where we're going, is the right decision.
Right.
That's a weird, I almost feel like I'm confessing right now. But,
yeah.
you know, like, do you kind of understand what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think at the core of what you're talking about is a real understanding of the opportunity cost, right? So with the opportunity cost of taking a job, you know that you're trading off something else.
Right.
And that something else is something you know, you desire, you want, and why would you put that off until
right.
after, you know? So the opportunity cost of also, though, on the other side is,
yeah,
yeah, there is no steady paycheck coming in. There is
yeah.
no routine. There is
but
no
what
security.
Is steady paycheck?
Well, I mean,
routine?
I think
I mean,
everyone, well, some people need a steady sense of routine. Obviously, everyone's routine has probably been, you know, changed after this year. And I think
yeah.
the one thing that we can all take away is that no one's paycheck is ever guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, and I
even tenure professors.
Well, yeah, for sure. Honestly. And I feel like even the tenure system has to be relooked at. I mean,
yeah.
a lot of these things, you know, are societal constructs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, and I remember, you know, working in my own, you know, corporate jobs, you know, really thinking like, oh, everyone's telling me this is great. You have a great job. You're on the right
yeah.
path, you know, and feeling like, okay, this is nice. Everyone
to
thinks
me,
that I'm doing good.
It's so unmotivating if you're like getting that feedback, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some people that's what they need. Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I
right.
think that for me, what happened where you and I are very much aligned now is, you know, once you step out of that,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like traveling to a whole new country and then coming back to your own country too. Like, yeah. You're like, wait, this is weird.
Yeah.
Why did I always think this is the way that it was?
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
And so it's like completely resetting your understanding
your norms. Yeah.
Yeah. What norms and rules and societal things, constructs that are created that we just take for reality. When really you go somewhere else, you start your own, you try to start your own business. You realize how difficult starting a business is. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, how difficult it is to hire people, you know, really good people, you know, you have
right.
there, but I think at the, like I said, I'll just to come back. I think the opportunity cost of taking a job that keeps you in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the trade-off is that you can't actually pursue what you want, and you mm-hmm. know what you want. And a lot of people don't know what they want yet.
Good point.
Right. And so yeah. I think that's where, a lot of people might want to start with what you don't want. Right.
Well, to me, it's like, what is the purpose of having like a secure, consistent job? I'd say that the majority of planet Earth would say, well, you need income. By yeah. having income, you can cover your, you know, main expenses for food and shelter. Right. But then what would you do with the extra money? Once you get that covered, what are you going to do with the extra money?
Yeah.
And that's where I really think, like, once you get those covered, what's next? And for me, it's all about, like, I want freaking life. I want, like, experiences. I want to learn. I want to travel. I want to grow. I want to try new projects. I want to create, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the key, is, like, if you have your food, your shelter covered, and, like, at a good level where you're, like, comfortable, whatever your level of comfort is, what do you do with the extra money?
Yeah.
And what is that? And then therefore now you're starting to think about it. Like, that's how I'm rewiring it in my head is because I know what I want to do after that. And I feel like you're the same.
You know? No, for sure I am. I think for me, I always try to, you know, compare and contrast how other people might interpret this, you know, and for, you know, like Bob Iger, for example, the CEO of Disney, he was a
big
guy
hero.
Who, yeah, I mean, and Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan Chase, like he actually now has the ability where he does this. He clears half of his day for just him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has that ability now. Bob Iger probably too. That's why, you know, he says he values his time alone in the morning also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way that they went up in the world was very corporate based, right?
Very, very.
And I think now we're in an era, which is really interesting, that we have the tools to be able to do things differently than the way that people did before, right?
Yeah.
So we have these platforms where everyone has access to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, if you're listening, if you usually listen to your local NPR station or whatever,
right?
Before podcasts, like you could only listen to the radio Whatever's being played, right? Or maybe XM, Sirius XM. But now we have podcasting, and anyone in the world can listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you have access to internet.
So many different options.
So I think now is a time where people really can kind of take a look at what has been expected of how people achieve what they want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's being high level and running an organization, like being the CEO of Disney, or if it's creating their own business from scratch, or, you know, just being fulfilled in the daily tasks that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if that has anything to do with like creativity and whatnot, that fulfills you.
Yeah.
That's a really beautiful thing too. Others, I think there's also, you know, if you are talented and you're valued by a certain institution or a company or something like that, that can actually bring you a lot of value too, to be appreciated and feel like you're, you know, like on the right track, 100%, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is though, is what is it that you want to do on a daily basis? Like, what do you want your life? Like, your time here is so limited. I mean, we say that so much, but I think it is the existential truth that we all, I think about at least every once
in a
while.
Or we don't want to admit and think about.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. But I think we've been really lucky to have some really wise older friends in our life, from our grandparents to other individuals who have been really close to us and have really kind of shown, even through all this success, even when you reach the pinnacle of everything that you could ever dream of when you're younger.
Right.
When you're at the top, what are you looking at now?
Yeah.
You know, like, and are you satisfied? Are you happy with it? Like, everything is ephemeral to a certain extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can become the CEO of something, and then, you know, two decades later, does anyone really know who you really are? You know, so you might as well try to make as much of an impact with something that really means a lot to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an individual, and can actually make an impact on other people's lives. I feel like that's, right. you know, to us, that's obviously our mission, is like the more lives we can improve with whatever we create, the better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Deep. This was such an honest conversation. It surprised me. I just was thinking about presenting a poem to you, but
it's a great poem.
You know, I think it made us reflect a lot on ourselves, and then hopefully our listeners too, depending on what they're trying to do.
Yeah, the importance of slow dancing.
The importance of the slow dance. Take it slow and focus on how you can grow.
Love it.
I love you, honey.
Thank you for
allowing me to do that. I hope everyone enjoyed it, and we look forward to talking to you later.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.